up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host. Time to heat up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you'll never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening. Not great to hear you apparently this evening, but it's good.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had unmuted myself. Good to see you too, brother.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, this is a great movie. I really loved it when Elphaba and Glinda went and met the wizard. It was so cool.
And then that girl with the hero shows up with the pail of water.
And the guy became a whooping crane. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And then he's the guy saw the sword in front of him, and all these ghosts started showing up. And these really weird girls. Sorry, weird sisters. Steve,
I think maybe we all four watched a different movie this week.
Only that was true. So, guys, if you haven't already liked, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. We've got some shows that are the first of sequels that are coming out. We're going to be watching some of those. So, and a kind of Disney movie, but I would argue one of the top five Christmas movies of all time coming up in December.
I don't know what it is, but I'm excited.
Good. So this week we watched Something Wicked This Way Comes. Had nothing to do with Macbeth. Had nothing to do with any other sort of wicked that you like out there or don't like out there, as the case might be. Steve, can you give us a real quick rundown of whatever the heck plot there was in this?
So this is a 1983 Disney film that came out. It's based on a...
Ray Bradbury.
Thank you. Basically, it started off as a short story called Black Ferris, and then he turned it, and he basically was trying to get Gene Kelly to produce it and stuff, and then that fell apart, and then he turned it into a novel, and then Disney somehow got the rights for this, and then he was involved in some of the script writing and lots of changes, but it's about basically two boys in your small town, American town in October when this mysterious carnival comes to town and basically ends up granting wishes to people there, but for a very dark price, not necessarily getting what there, and then them discovering what's going on and sort of this battle between good and evil.
And then these ghost pirates show up and they have to take water. Oh wait, sorry. Yeah, it's a movie. I said it's a 1983 movie. Oh, how Disney got the rights. So the Michael and Kirk Douglas originally wanted to do this as the father and son in the story, because Peter Douglas, which I think is the next generation down, is actually one of the associate producers on it. So that's kind of the direction that the rights came to Disney from. So, and this is pre-Michael Eisner Disney. Pete, help me out. Who was head of Disney at this point in 83? This was about three. This would have been 3 years before Eisner. Would it have been Raleigh Crump?
No, this was, I think at the time, at least theatrical was being run by the son-in-law. Who was married to Diane Disney, Miller, Ron Miller.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he was running the studios in general.
Crump was doing the parks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's an odd time for Disney because they were, I mean, we've watched a few movies from this period, right? Tron was of this period the year before.
Watching the Black Hole,
I would say, was of this period. I think they were really like looking for they were making Black Cauldron while this was going on. They were really like looking for a way to modernize themselves in an atmosphere where, you know, family friendly corny movies were maybe no longer as popular in the 70s and into the 80s.
Early 80s, there were not any family friendly movie had to have some sort of an edge. I mean, look at E.T. The quintessential family-friendly movie of the early 80s is a scary movie for little kids, or can be.
Yeah, this movie would have scared the crap out of me. For sure.
There was some real intense stuff in here. I mean, I wouldn't call it a gory movie at all. There was a little bit.
And it wasn't jump scares.
No jump scares, true. But there was definitely some imagery in it that would serve up some nightmares for children. Yeah. If they had seen it.
Tarantulas, hello.
The scene with the tarantulas was I thought really like intense, for sure. The ending where Jonathan Pryce ages was pretty creepy looking and everything. And there were a few other moments.
Even the part when the kid who was the older guy turns into a kid and he just like stands on the porch stoop and like stares at them. I was like, right. Creepy kid vibes. Creepy kid vibes.
Yeah. Steve reminds me of our kids. So that was this movie. I said, not your typical Disney, what you might think of necessarily, at least now, as your typical Disney pair. But I want to know, what about this was wonderful? What about this worked for you? And Steve, I'm going to give you the first shot at this, since this was Steve's suggestion.
Yep.
So I remember, I can't remember if I saw it theater. I know I'm pretty sure I rented it as a VHS shortly after it came out. And it's Mr. Dark. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep.
That performance, especially in the library, I mean, watching as a doll, just like very intense, like the ripping of the pages and just like, even from the very beginning when he's walking through the town throwing things, guess how they set it up of there's something off about him and what it is. I mean, that's a highlight for me. I mean, I don't want to take everything. I'd also say the Dust Witch, Pam Grier, just her short scenes, also very intense. Those would be the two standouts. I have more. But
did those remind any scenes that almost remind anybody of Constance in the Haunted Mansion?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize at the end of the movie that was Pam Grier. I was like, woohoo, it's, you know, Foxy Brown.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Kate, go ahead.
Yeah, this movie, so I was not really expecting to like it. I was kind of like, oh no, it's just gonna be so terrible. And it was so campy that I loved it. Like, it was so campy. And so, like, I'm a little bit surprised this doesn't have a cult following of some sort, that this isn't like a cult movie.
It wasn't out there at all.
That's fair.
You couldn't get a hold of it.
That's fair. So I, just with just how campy it was, I loved it. I loved when one of the boys was like, don't ditch me. I was like, yes, you don't ditch him. Like, it was just so campy and so overacted. And just enough like, enough of like Oh man, the guy, he got onto the Ferris wheel and then he's gone and all that's left is the cigar. Where did he go? Like, it's just... And like, the movie starts and it's got the guy with the lightning rods and you think that he's going to be like the super bad man? No, no, my friends.
What other 1983 movie was he in?
Oh, I looked up a lot of the cast, but I don't think I looked up him.
He was the pastor in The Right Stuff.
Oh.
I wouldn't remember that.
Well, I just knew that Mr. Dark was in Game of Thrones.
He was also in Pirates of the Caribbean.
And Pirates. I am just so glad that Steve recommended this movie. I laughed so much because it was so campy. It's just so good. Like, how lucky are those two boys to, like, live across a rooftop from each other? Just, like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. The tone was so out there, though, because I completely agree that there are parts of this that were very campy, cheesy, and then other parts of it, as we said, very intensely, I mean, I won't say scary as an adult, certainly, but you still, as an adult, like, felt the tension of the scenes. And so, and then like, because, like, early on, it's like, you know, they're going through the town and it's like, oh, I only wish that I had a lady. Oh, you know, and everybody's like, so, somehow every person they come across is telling them their heart's desire. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to come back in the movie.
So, you know? Good.
Because I didn't really know what the movie was about.
And Jeff's kiss.
Come back. They get taken away to Oz. I mean.
Well, also you were expecting, like, oh, it's going to be one of those, like, grant your wish, but in a way that it's not really your wish.
Type things. Yeah.
You're just going to get abducted. You know, we'll grant your wish and then you're abducted. That's it.
and then the whole town and had their wish granted, gets sucked away by a tornado.
It's so good. It's just so good. Oh, man. This movie could so easily be turned into a drinking game.
And you also got to love the, like, I love me some 80s lightning effects.
Those I love. Yeah.
Like, 80s, you know, like, I mean, Ghostbusters had the same thing, right, with the demon dogs and everything. It's gotta love when you see, like,
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, every movie in you know, from like 82 to 88 had to have these lightning effects in them.
It was just so it was
there was
so
there was a lot of fun scenes in this movie. So what about you, Derek, though?
Okay, so the next thing we're gonna look at is
what?
This is not. I don't know that I can find anything positive about this movie, to be perfect. Really?
Nothing?
Not
a one thing. It was so campy. It was so good.
The 80s. As Pete said, something like the 80s lightning effect and the super aging that, you know, was you know, almost direct. No, we didn't steal that from either Raiders or anything like that. No, of course not. Okay. And Gina, you might be able to pull the name up in the background. Who played the young school teacher? Because I know I've seen her before, too.
I looked it up, but I couldn't. I don't think she was anyone that had really done much. She looked like Daryl Hannah.
I was going to say looked like, who played Miss Bliss on Saving Miss Bliss?
I don't remember.
Oh, no. The original Pollyanna, Parent Trap, Haley Mills. Looked kind of like Haley Mills, too.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So
but it wasn't.
It was most definitely not Haley Mills.
Yeah.
I just did not, nothing about, I feel like I was too hard on Fantastic Four last week, to be perfectly honest. This was, made me want to go back and watch Escape to Witch Mountain again.
Hell yeah, put that one in too. Do a back-to-back. Great. So great.
So, okay, well, let's get into, you know,
Yeah.
What didn't you? Why didn't you like it? Because clearly, all the other three of us all enjoyed this movie quite a bit.
Part of it is this is not in my wheelhouse at all. I do not like movies that have, for the most part, that have any sense of scariness in them at all.
That's fair. That's true.
Are not my thing at all. And this was not a scary movie. As an adult watching this for the very first time, this was not a scary movie. As a kid, I don't know if I would have made it more than about, okay, I would have made it more than 20 minutes in because nothing had happened in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But when the kids got yelled at it, or started the music playing in the circus, looks like the caboose, basically, type thing.
Yeah.
Which, okay, if it shows up on a train, where did the train tracks go?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't even matter. That's what makes this movie so great.
And there were a lot of green leaves for it being October. So, but it just, this is not my cup of tea anywhere, anyway. But the plot was so both thin and telegraphed so hard. The fact, I would have liked to honestly, okay, make the bad guy, typically you make the bad guy of these have at least somewhat of a little bit of a redeeming quality. And in a true Ray Bradbury book, he would have had some redeeming qualities. It would have been a true tough decision because this was completely, this they took after their initial screening of this was so badly received, they pulled it and reworked it for a year. There is a reason that the boys in the tarantula scene are older than in the rest of the movie.
That makes it even better.
It's just, I didn't, again, I said, this is not my wheelhouse at all. I don't like most scary movies, but I can do campy. If you're going to call this super campy, it didn't go far enough.
But it wasn't intended to be campy.
I know. But if you're saying that's what you like so much about it, I would argue if that's what I'm supposed to like about it, it didn't go nearly far enough. So, Kate, what didn't work for you?
So, I just forgot it. There was one other thing I wanted to add to the like list, but now I can't.
Sorry, you can't wind that back.
I know. Now I can't remember what it was.
Just gotta keep going forward.
Here's the thing. The things that I didn't like about it are what made it so great. Like, it's so campy. And I don't think that they meant for it to be that campy. But, I remember. So this is like a good and kind of a bad thing, but kind of a good thing. I truly did not know where this was going. I did not know. And that may have just been like, I did not see where it was going. I did not. Like, it kept getting closer and closer. Because, again, Derek, I was watching the movie with a little bit of, like, I was trying to timestamp if there was a jump scare or something. Because I know you don't like scary stuff. No. So I was trying to, like, keep an eye out for that. But we were getting to, like, 20 minutes left in the movie, 15 minutes left in the movie. And I was like, I don't know how they're going to wrap this up. I don't know how they're going to get out of this. But I feel like that could be kind of a good thing, is that I didn't know. And Casey didn't know either. Like, we were both like, I don't know what's going to happen.
So the Hall of Mirrors was not telegraphed to you at the very beginning.
Dad, don't do it. It's just so good.
I know.
And I'm going to be really honest.
The ones that they wanted. But it just didn't work out in the fun house of mirrors.
I'm going to be honest. Okay. The more that I talk about this, the higher my rating is getting in my head. It was just like, I think if they had fixed anything that I would have been like, oh my God, it was so overacted. Like, just the overacting. But that's what made it so ridiculous and good. So literally, the longer I talk about this, I'm like, man, this is getting a solid 4. Like, just like, this is just like, it's so campy. It's so bad. It's so okay. Good.
We'll get there, but I'm not. Yeah.
So I get what Kate's coming from. I don't think I'm not rating it a 4, but but like there's parts of this movie that are so bad they're good. Like there's bad movies out there that are bad, but they're very entertaining to watch. And I felt like parts of this movie, like the tone of this movie, was very uneven, right? You had those campy parts, and then you had the really intense parts, and they didn't really go together, but they were both entertaining in different ways. It did feel like the original movie was too intense, so they put in the stupid stuff, or the original movie was too stupid, and so they put in this intense stuff. I don't know which
whatever
it is.
They did, it made it perfect, and they need not change anything.
Basically, it was both, Pete.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So they didn't actually change the tone. They lightened
the tone up a ton.
Did they? Okay. So really? it was too intense. Yeah.
It was too intense.
Well, so like, because I can criticize all the same thing. Like, the kid actors weren't very good. I thought Jonathan Pryce was very good. I mean, Jason Robards, you know, he's going to be good in whatever he's in. But like, the whole plot was a little bit on the cheesy side. I disagree with Kate that like not knowing what was coming. As I said, the first scene in the movie, and everybody's like spouting out what they want to.
Nothing was off limits in this movie. That's why I didn't know.
Yes, there was. They weren't old enough to look through what wasn't off limits.
It's that one guy going, oh my God. It was so good. It was so good. 10 out of 10. Go ahead, Steve.
I agree with both of you. I think it suffers from all the rewriting and the changing that it lost its focus at times. I mean, I feel like it got down to its climax and it's like, boom, it's like done really quickly. And then like a quick wrap up.
But at the same time, the mirror thing with the smoke took too long.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, yeah. It's all this inconsistencies.
Yeah. It wants to be a coming of age story and a father and son coming together story, but it also wants to be this scary horror movie story. And the two stories don't fit together well.
But I know my 13-year-old self loved this movie. I loved the creepiness of it. And 13-year-old self, I sort of like Kate, did not necessarily pick up on everything that was coming at first. Now, as I'm watching as an adult, it's like it's very like straightforward.
As I said, I think I said this in the previous show. I remember as a kid, because 83 was the year I started like going to see everything. That was the year of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I saw Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom 12 times in the movie theaters.
Did you really?
That summer,
it cost like $6 because they were
$50. Most of them were at the dollar theater. But
no, we had dollar theaters back then. Double feature, $1. Yeah.
But Star Trek: Search for Spock was that summer. Gremlins was that summer, and Gremlins is kind of a scary movie too. And I love that movie.
What year was this? 83 or 89?
83.
Okay.
83. So I was.
Anyway,
it was. So I was 13. I mean, Steve would have been right. Steve 13, and I are about the same age. Yeah. So, I think I would have liked it had I seen it. But as I said, the trailers just creeped me out too much. I couldn't see it. And I don't think I've ever seen it. And as Derek, as you pointed out, it frequently has not been available.
No.
And it was just finally put on Disney Plus. And how many Disney movies haven't been released yet on Disney Plus?
I would say definitely less than 50, probably less than 20.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I can name some shorts that are not on it yet.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that Toot Whistle Plunk and Boom is not on Disney Plus is a crime.
Yeah. I think we all agree with that like every single Disney short should be on there available.
Do you remember the I'm No Fool Jiminy Cricket ones?
I don't know.
Anyone else remember those?
I don't remember those.
So it was like safety with fire, safety with electricity. They were kind of fun. So anyway, sorry.
But I'm certainly with Kate. I'm so glad Steve recommended this movie and we got
10 out of 10.
So, thank you, Steve. From two of us.
Yeah, thanks.
An excellent choice.
In related terms, Steve's picking privileges have been suspended.
No way. Upgraded.
All right, so guys, is this a Disney movie?
I think if you put it in the same realm as Escape to Witch Mountain and now I'm not gonna be able to think of it. Like, yeah, Disney does camp, man. Like, Disney does camp. And yes, if you had asked me before we watched it, I would have been like, this seems a little intense for Disney. But and 1983 was like, there were no rules. I mean, I think Gina said the movie Poltergeist was only rated PG.
Yeah.
This would have been a PG-13.
This was also the summer that created PG-13.
Yes. Temple of Doom was the first PG-13 movie.
Temple of Doom was PG. It was because of movies like Temple of Doom, and it was later re-rated. But the first, because I was big into movies. The first movie that was PG-13 was Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid.
So did they have R-rated movies then?
Yes.
Yeah, they had R-rated, but there was nothing.
They only had G, PG, and R.
And R, right. So a movie like Poltergeist, which is really intense but didn't actually have any gore or swearing, could get a PG rating. Or a movie like this would get a PG rating because it, strictly speaking, didn't have anything.
Lawless Wasteland.
That would make it R. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm curious what you all think.
You also would get topless women in PG movies back then.
Oh, giggity. Pete, what do you think? Like, because to me, it is, but what do you think?
What do I think about this movie? I think it, for the most part, feels like a Disney movie because the heart of your story are these kids, which is what a lot of Disney movies of the 60s and 70s and into the 80s were about, was these, you know, kids that go on this adventure, whether it's, you know, the Apple Dumpling Gang or whatever. And yes, there are scary parts to it, but it still felt like it was, you know, they were trying to be an edgier Disney movie, but it still felt to me like a Disney movie. What do you think, Steve?
I agree with you. I feel like it's Disney's trying that push to be edgy and sort of failed at it, but it's definitely an interesting history part of Disney. So it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with you guys on this. To me, it felt like, imagine if there was a prequel to Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you want campiness, and you want, the only reason people like it is because they think they liked it as a kid.
Yeah.
It's Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Hocus Pocus doesn't have anything as intense as this.
No.
But yeah, I would agree with that.
The only thing I would say would be like her sucking the life out of kids.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I was expecting some of you guys to say, no, it doesn't feel like a Disney movie. But, I mean, it's the kid-based, it's...
I think
if this was 2 years later, it might have been a Touchstone movie.
Yeah, I think if it didn't have the kids, then I would agree it doesn't feel like a Disney movie. But I think the fact that the story centers around the kids, that still made it feel like Disney. Yeah.
And the between the kids and, okay, did they ever explain why dad is so old?
It was never really explained.
And how, okay, but it's like how he's old enough to be the kid's mom's dad.
I mean, that does happen. Old guys marry young women.
Yeah, but he wasn't rich. He was a librarian.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Know. That's the brilliance of this movie. There are no answers. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I just keep talking about it. My rating's just going to keep going up. It's so good.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't realize going in that was going to be a central theme of the movie, but I have to admit, like, the first thing I thought to myself when Jason Robards comes out as the dad, I'm like, holy crap, how old was he when he had that kid? I mean, I looked it up. He was like 61 or 62 when the movie came out.
But the kid was like 10.
Right. Yeah. But so it doesn't matter.
The carousel went backwards. There's no rules. There's no rules. So good.
I really wanted him to be more tempted by the youth because they set that up so much. And then he's never really always on the kid's side right from as soon as he finds out about it. He's never really, you know, I mean, Dark is ripping the book and trying to tempt him or whatever, but you never question that he's going to defend it. And I think it would have been more interesting to have him like get to that point where he's about to get on the carousel or something like that. And then, you know, back out or something like that. Yeah. I think that might have been more interesting.
I laughed out loud when Mr. Dark was like, what are the names of the kids? And he comes up, the name he came up with was like, oh, that's like Cornelius Managina or something just totally insane. Just like, what? Just so, A+.
Okay, Kate, let's have it.
Let's rate before she gets up to 5.
Yeah.
Oh. So, what is this movie actually? It's probably like a 2.5. Like a 2.5. But like, the more that I talk about it, I'm like, I want to watch this movie every year at Halloween season and turn it into a drinking game. Like, this needs to become a pivotal. Steve, I don't know that I have been just so grateful for.
Apparently it has already been a drinking game.
Like, this movie was primo. I'm going to go 2.5 because, like, yeah, but.
It's it? Oh, my God, Kate.
Okay, move it to a 3. It's got to be a 3. It's got to at least be a 3 because this movie was just A+ work. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I think similar to Kate, I got to give it a 3. I was probably more entertained than a 3, but it also is not a movie I would not go back to this every year. If it was a movie I went back to every year, I would be giving it a 4. You know, but like if someone, you know, if someone next Halloween did say to me, you know, hey, have you heard about this movie? I'd be like, yeah, I could watch that.
Yes, so, absolutely. Let me launch into a doctoral dissertation about how great this movie is. Continue.
So I'm gonna give it a 3. Steve?
I'm also giving it a 3. Like, I remember it from my childhood, and it was enjoyable. It has its faults, but it's a good entertaining 3.
Yeah. Except for Derek.
Yeah, no. If you're not a Scary Thing fan or freaky or just weird
primo,
guys, it's a 1 for me, and I just
I should move mine to a 4 and offset his 1.
You could do that.
Now
still wouldn't bring it
that
up.
That was
to
a lightning bolt right to my chest, Derek. Now,
I want to go way, way back into the Wayback Machine.
Oh no.
Okay, campiness, predictability, silliness, fun. What did you guys have a problem with on Swiss Family Robinson?
I rated Swiss Family Robinson okay.
Well, because I went back and looked. Swiss Family Robinson, Kate gave it a 2. Okay. And you two gave it a 2.5. I mean, it's just how you like this movie better than that movie, I just don't understand.
I have to say Swiss Family Robinson, it was too long. This movie didn't feel too long to me.
It was an hour and 34 minutes.
There was it. In fact, it needed to be this short.
That I would agree with very much.
Yeah. Because Swiss Family Robinson was like 2+. There was a lot of stuff that in that movie that I found was very boring. I think some of it didn't age very well. So I think that's why I gave it is this a better quote unquote better, like if I'm just analyzing it, no, but this is more entertaining.
I find this one more entertaining than the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm the only one who's right this time then. So
it happens quite frequently.
Listen, if rating this as high as I did is wrong. I don't ever want to be right.
Good. You very rarely are. So,
fine.
What have we got for Disney Plus news this week, Kate?
Only one thing for Disney Plus news, other than the fact that if you haven't watched Something Wicked This Way Comes, you
watch
should
Macbeth.
Really, truly stop everything, grab a glass of your favorite cocktail, and have a ball, my friend.
Macbeth is a funnier movie.
It is a sequel to the Marvel special presentation. Werewolf by Night has been confirmed to be in development, which is good. We like that.
We did.
Yeah, we did like Werewolf by Night. Yeah. That was something that was, again, creepy and scary, but it wasn't, I don't know, I liked that better. But again, I like some of the old, like, the original Frankenstein movie and the original Dracula movie.
It was more like that kind of scary. Yeah. It wasn't really.
It was really, monster really movie. Scary. It was Universal Monster movie scary.
Right. I agree.
Okay. Next week, Disney is releasing Zootopia 2. Because it's their Thanksgiving release this year, so we are going to watch the original Zootopia. I can't believe we've ever actually haven't watched this, even though we watched like the Zootopia series.
Yeah, with the shorts, or was it Zootopia Plus?
Zootopia.
I don't know that I've ever actually watched it all the way. As a matter of fact, I can pretty much guarantee I've never actually watched Zootopia all the way through.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. I know I've watched like the sloth section, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, we watched the Zootopia shorts. But I haven't watched the Zootopia. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it either?
No, I've seen it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember being very intense at the end.
I have.
Seen the end. And yeah, but.
This was on heavy rotation for a while. I have seen this.
I can see
more than a dozen times.
I can see in your household, with the age of your daughter, I can definitely see that.
Yeah. This was very popular.
But if you've got suggestions on what you think we should watch, please send us an email at plusfortune@gmail.com. Comment on our videos, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. Get us messages. We've got new shows coming out on YouTube and all the major podcasting services every week. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gene in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
're watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.